To help prepare minds for Rich's lesson this morning, I'll be reading from the 8th chapter of Acts, verse 26 through the end of the chapter. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopian eunuch, a great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in a chariot reading Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and understand. Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached to the gospel to all the cities that he came to Caesarea.
Appreciate your presence this morning. And glad you could all come out on this wintry day. Was it supposed to be like 60 degrees in December? Enjoy it while you can, folks, because it's going to be Alaska soon here. So, as the lesson and the reading might hint, one of the questions sometimes we'll hear is, when should I be baptized? And that's a valid question to anyone who might be considering doing just that. You know, and a lot of questions come into mind, like, why do people wait to be baptized? And should they wait? And how old is old enough? To those who are considering to be a Christian, or maybe someone who's teaching somebody to become a Christian, you know, whether now or sometime in the future, we need to think seriously about these things. So let us examine the Word of God this morning and arrive to some seriously reasoned answers. As was read in our hearing in Acts the 8th chapter in verse 26 through 40, you know, we have the angel of the Lord talking to Philip saying, you know, get up and go toward the south, to the way that goes from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert, and he arose and went. It says in verse 27, Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. This was an Ethiopian, and he was of the Jewish faith. He has come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. So Philip runs there to him and hears him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? for his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And we see this in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Isaiah 53, we can see, you know, what the eunuch was asking about. And we'll read that chapter. It's not that long. I'm not doing a three-hour sermon, at least I hope not. I don't think my legs could hold out that long, and I don't think your bladders or your patience or your appetite would hold on that long. I promise you I won't go that long. But in chapter 53 of Isaiah, it says, Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him like a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, and he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Philip at this point teaches Jesus to the eunuch, this official of Ethiopia. And we see that the eunuch is baptized. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached to him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So why did the eunuch get baptized so quickly? Well, think about it. So did Paul. In the very next chapter, in Acts 9, in verse 17, it says, And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, on Paul, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. So Saul was stricken blind on the road to Damascus, goes and he's led into Damascus, and he is praying. He hasn't eaten anything for 3 days or 3 nights. It says that in Acts, the 9th chapter, in verse 9. And He is told, you know, wash away your sins. He's told what to do. And he is baptized immediately after the scales fall off of his eyes and he can see again. Now, how many of you haven't eaten or drank anything for 3 days might be okay if you had a Mars bar and a sip of water before being baptized. But Saul saw there was something that needed to be done. And that was he needed to cleanse his soul of his sins. He needed to be ready to face judgment. And so therefore, he became a Christian first. And Saul or Paul and the eunuch's hearts were both pricked, you might say. And in the same way, in Acts the second chapter, in verse 29, Acts 2 and 29, and you know, Peter says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher, his tomb, is also with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and being received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed both forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ." They are told, you've killed your Messiah. You've killed your Savior. You've killed the Son of God. And they hear this in verse 37. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were made to feel pain for what they had done. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. These men were guilty of sin, having killed the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus. So their hearts were pricked. And really, so was Paul's, and so was the Ethiopian eunuch. Something motivated them to say, we have strayed off, and we do not want to die in our sins. So what should prick our heart? Well, first of all, we have to realize that we've sinned. That's a big part of it. We have to realize that we have done these things. It's like our house has been flooded by mud, maybe mixed with a little manure. You have to clean yourself and the house because you're probably not going to smell too good. And when are you going to do that? Am I going to wait 5 years until my children are grown up? Am I going to wait until my mother and father, who don't believe the same way I do, is going to do it? No, you're going to clean out that, you're going to clean that stuff out of your house right away. You're not going to wait 5 years to take a shower. I hope so. You don't wait that long. You might not have friends very much. Or if they do, they'll have a little clothespin saying, "Hi, how are you? I won't be here long." They're going to be walking up to you and saying what? They're going to say, "You need to get a shower. You need to clean yourself." And are we going to do that? 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, you know, Nathan the prophet comes up to Dave, the King David, and says, "You've done something wrong. You have sent Uriah the Hittite into battle to get killed after you've impregnated his wife. You are the man." And it says that in verse 7 of 2 Samuel 12. "And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine wives, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this sun, for thou didst it secretly. But I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. David had to realize that he had sinned, and that was Nathan's purpose, saying, hey, you have sinned. You are the man. After he tells him this story about the man who had the little lamb, it was to him like a daughter, and some guy takes it and kills the lamb and eats it. And David's all upset, saying that man will be punished and he must repay, do all these things. And then Nathan tells him, you're him. You're the guy that took that lamb. When we realize that we have sinned, and we realize that if we were to go to sleep tonight and die, we're going to die in our sins, and we won't go to heaven. That's when our heart is pricked, when we realize this situation. You know, John the 8th chapter in verse 21, then said Jesus again to them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. And he said, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said to them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Then understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spoke as he spake these words, many believed in him, on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's going to free you of sin. If you've sinned and you've not done anything to eliminate them, you'll die in your sins. It's like you've not taken care of the house that's been flooded. You don't take care of that, what's going to happen? That carpeting's going to smell like mold because mold's going to grow. You're going to see things deteriorate. You know, wood doesn't do well in water, you know, in your house. The drywall will be damaged. If you've got a hardwood floor that's like this, it might be like this. You ever walk on a hardwood floor like that? It's interesting when you're five, but when you're of an older age, you don't want your floor to be like that. You need to clean yourself up because you want to be presented to Jesus as pure so he can go to God and do the same thing. Now the question is, how old do I need to be baptized? Well, you know, I know people who were at a young age who were ready, and I know people who were adult age who weren't. You know, I know of a man who died at the age of 49, but I don't have much belief that he is condemned because he was injured at birth and his mind never got beyond that of a toddler. He never walked. He was a baby. He filled his diapers. He had to be spoon-fed baby food to the end of his life. Is this a man who's going to die in his sins? This is a man who has no idea what a sin was, much less anything else. He never spoke, and his schooling, I remember them bringing him in to Swayze Elementary, go down in the basement with the special ed kids, and one day I was down in the basement, walked past the room, and they had a little ball, and they were trying to get him to bat at it, because that was considered progress. It's like a little child at age of 6 months passes on. Is that child guilty of sin? No, they have no idea what sin is. They are innocent of sin. But there are also, I've also met kids who are 10 years old who were as evil could be and really needed to have their sins forgiven. But if you are at an age in which you understand what sin is and what sin does to you, it will prevent you from seeing God. Your heart is therefore pricked. Therefore, you are accountable for what sin is and what it does. You know, back in Isaiah, now this time it's Isaiah the 59th chapter, and we'll just read a couple of verses. Like I said, I'm not going to make this a five-hour lesson or three-hour. Chapter 59 of Isaiah, verses 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." And we can also compare different places. Galatians, the 5th chapter, in verse 16. Galatians 5 and verse 16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live with the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another." You know, jealousies of one another is a sin. We have to watch ourselves and not do that. But you know what? If you haven't been baptized and you do it, that can send you away from the presence of God forever. If you hate someone, you do that way. You know, Ephesians 5, 1 through 7, "Be ye therefore followers of God like dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain or empty words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not you therefore partakers with them." You know, don't tell dirty jokes, don't laugh at dirty jokes as part of this. If you're not a Christian, you've done that once, you're separated from God. You know, Revelation 21 and verse 5, "And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Have you ever lied? Have you ever told an untruth to somebody? If you haven't become a Christian, had your sins washed away, just one lie is enough to be separated from God and to be in hell. If you have slept with another person outside of the bonds of marriage just once, that's enough to send you away. That's the seriousness of the situation. Just one sin is enough if you don't do anything to clean yourself up. So when should I be baptized? You know, is there a certain time to be baptized? No. If you call me at 3 in the morning and say, I need to be baptized, I'll get up. I might need to be pointed the right direction because I'm a little woozy, but I'd be happy to baptize you. Why? Because it's more important than sleep. To save, have a soul saved is more important than anything that we can possibly do. Paul understood the situation. Acts 22, in verse 12, he talks about him becoming a Christian. He says, and one Ananias, devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. In other words, he tells Paul, you can't wait. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. He didn't waste time. He understood the situation. He did it now. So, if we do it, when and how? Well, you know, first step is it to listen to what is taught. You know, to read the word, to understand it, to hear it. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you have to hear, you have to listen to the word. And if you're going to listen to it, then you need to believe it. Mark 16:16, he who believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. If you don't believe, you need to go back and listen some more to, you know, to believe. If you are baptized just to please mom and dad or grandpa and grandma or because other people have done it, that's not the reason to be baptized. The reason to be baptized is to save yourself from hell, to clean your sins. And if you've done these things, you're being convicted. And you need to be ready to take care of that, to believe. And if you believe, then you repent. Now, what does it mean to repent? And it's not meaning that we need a fresh coat of paint so we're repenting the house or repenting the walls of the church. It's to repent, to turn yourself around. If you're a liar, you don't lie anymore. If you're a thief, you don't steal anymore. If you're committing a certain sin, you change your life and you do not walk that way anymore. And after you believe these things and you repent, you make a confession. You know, Acts 8, we have the Ethiopian eunuch making a confession that he believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Also in Romans 10 and in verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You make this confession and then you're baptized in the watery grave of baptism, as we read in Mark 16:16, and also we read in Acts 22:16, to be baptized. As we read in Acts 8, they went down in the water and they came back up. It's a grave. It's like you got covered up by, instead of dirt in the grave, you got covered up by water. And that, but you get to come back up. The old self is left in that water, spiritually. And then you come up a new man, a new girl, new boy, whatever you want to call yourself. And then you are faithful unto death, as in Revelation 2 and verse 10, to be faithful unto death. Even if it causes your death, you stay faithful. I don't know. I see people in the audience I know are not Christians. I see people who I don't know if they have wandered away from the faith, and they need to do something about that, to ask for prayers of the congregation. Where do you stand this day? If you were to take a nap this afternoon and you don't wake up, will you be in the arms of the Lord, or will you be in torment, awaiting final ruin in hell? I can't answer that. I don't know your hearts. I don't know what you do in your spare time. But I'm going to ask you this question. Do you want to live forever? Hell is not living forever. That's a second death. Heaven is not only living forever, it's being happy forever. No tears are shed anymore, no unhappiness. What an awful place. And so many people are turning their backs on heaven, saying, I'd rather be in hell, when they don't know what they're asking for. They're asking for eternal torture versus eternal happiness. Where do you stand this day? And that's our lesson. There's been an invitation song selected. The invitation applies to you in any fashion. Please come forward, make your wants known while we stand and while we sing.